This is a work of the Durham Church of Christ. Visit our website at durhamcoc.com.
As we continue our series on daily exhortation this week, asking the question, are we sure that we want to be Christians? We ask this question because what we see in Luke chapter 14, verses 26 and 27, for example, where Jesus is laying out before the multitudes, out before those that are hearing His word, what is required to be His follower. And we've noticed already several things that one would have to give up, certain things that one would have to do in order to be a Christian. And if one is not willing to embrace and accept that indeed he's going to have to put away these worldly things and commit himself to Christ, then he has the wrong perception, the wrong understanding biblically as to what he is to do in order to be a Christian, and therefore might think that he is living a life as a Christian when indeed he is not. And so we need to understand what is required of one who wants to be a Christian so that he can understand what he is to be doing when he becomes a Christian, when he obeys the gospel, becomes a child of God by being baptized into Christ based upon his belief and confession in Christ. Acts chapter 8, verses 35 to 39, Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 and 27. And we notice, and we're going to move on today, to see that if one wants to be a Christian, he or she is going to have to put away bad influences. Are you sure you want to be a Christian? Are you ready to put aside those friendships and those relationships that you at one time had and maybe held very dear, but influence you to ungodliness, influence you to conformity of the world, rather than influence you to transformation according to the Word of God? Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. We see in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 33, be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners. Another translation would be not deceived, evil companionship corrupts good morals. Evil companionship corrupts good morals. We see in the New King James, for example, evil company corrupts good habits. If one is going to have company with that which is evil, then his morals or his habits are going to eventually become evil. Or if he's trying to break away from evil habits, but he continues to befriend and keep good company, close company with that which is evil, with that which is indeed living a life of that is contrary to the life that he is now trying to live, then he's going to have a very difficult time. Influences matter. And if we allow ourselves to continue to cleave to the relationships of the world, to relationships with individuals that are trying to influence us for evil, then we are going to eventually partake or continue to partake, never breaking away from doing that evil as well. We see what Paul tells the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 17. He says, wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate. Come out from among them. Don't associate with evil, but come out from the evil. Saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. God wants us to be separate, not to be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Verse 14, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness? We can't be in partnership with the world, be in fellowship with the world, be best friends with those of the world, those that are doing evil, and expect that we ourselves are going to remain pure from all that which they engage in. Now surely there's going to be some that indeed we have a relationship with, but our efforts and our purpose of that relationship is to teach them the gospel. But when we first obey the gospel, we can't have that kind of mindset right off the bat. We need to have the mindset, it's time to sever ties. It's time to put away from me these relationships that are going to continue to drag me down the pathway of evil rather than encourage me, such as my brethren, my newly found brethren now that I've been baptized and become a child of God, into Christ. Are you sure you want to be a Christian? Are you sure you're ready to put away these bad influences? Paul writes to the Ephesians in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 11, and have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. See, we can't just completely remove ourselves from the world. We can't have no relationships at all whatsoever with those of the world, those that are doing evil, but rather we need to reprove them. But when we first become a Christian, we don't need to continue to have the mindset that we're going to remain buddy-buddy with those in the world that were taking us and leading us and influencing us down a pathway of evil. We need to sever that relationship, and eventually if that relationship gets picked back up, it gets picked back up in a much different light. The light is now with the one who is a Christian now trying to influence and encourage the one who is not a Christian and in the world and continuing to go down that pathway of evil to obey the gospel. And indeed, he's going to need to be reproved and corrected at times. But that is now the new purpose of the relationship. To be fruitful. To evangelize. To win a soul to the Lord. We see that this was indeed a difficulty and a problem even in the first century. It's no different today. Peter writes to them in the first century. 1 Peter chapter 4. He says in verse 3, "For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lasciviousness, lusts, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries." The New King James says you used to walk in manners of drinking parties. You used to do all these things that were of the world, that were of the Gentiles. We talked about in our previous lesson certain habits that would have to be given up in order to be a Christian. That habit including drinking. The need to be sober, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Well, here Peter is saying, there was a time you used to do these sinful things. There was a time you used to live like the world. "Wherein they think it strange," verse 4, "that ye run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you." Now that you don't do it any longer, they don't like that you don't do it any longer. Guess what? If your friends and your relationships, your primary relationships in this life consisted of, let's just say, 4 or 5 folks of the world, and these are the kinds of things that they did, and you stopped doing them, the reason why your ties will have to be severed with them is because they're going to ride you, and they're going to complain and to hiss at you, because the new life that you're trying to live, and eventually, either you're going to give in to them and go back into the world, or you're going to take such a stance in reproving them and that the relationship will be severed because they won't want to be around you any longer. Because you think you're better than them. That's the mindset they'll have. They're going to speak evil of you, just as Peter is saying. But eventually, after that relationship has been severed again, it's an opportunity to come back and where maybe the relationship can pick back up, but not from where it used to be. It's going to pick back up with you now, as a Christian, trying to influence that lost soul to obey the gospel and do the Lord's will. Worldly relationships, when you're in the world, matter greatly. They mean so much. Friendships in the world mean a great deal. Family relationships mean a great deal when you're in the world. But when you come into Christ and you realize my relationship with Christ comes first, I'm to obey Christ over all else, just as Jesus explains in Luke 14 and verse 26. If you don't hate your mother and father and brother and sisters, if you're not willing to put every relationship you have to the side in order to follow me, you cannot be my disciple. It indeed is challenging when those relationships mean so much in the world, but coming into Christ and experiencing the relationship with Christ, experiencing the relationship with God the Father, experiencing the relationship with His church, one sees that that relationship is far greater. And those relationships are far greater. And so giving up those past relationships, those worldly relationships, really one can look back and think that it was really quite easy. Although at the time it may have been very difficult. It was really quite easy because now the blessings of the relationships that are enjoyed in the church are so great. And those relationships are looked at now as being nothing compared to the new relationships that exist in Jesus. Notice what Jesus states in Mark chapter 10. In verse 29, he says, "Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake in the Gospels." Do you see? He's saying there is no man that has not had to give up things in order to be right with me, in order to be right with the Gospel. But notice, all those relationships that had to be given up, notice what he says in verse 30. "But he shall receive an hundredfold now in this time houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands." The relationships, though, that he then gains by giving up the relationships of the world are far, far greater. "Receive an hundredfold now in this time." It is worth it. But are you sure you want to be a Christian? Are you sure you're willing to give up those relationships? Give up that which comes between you and Jesus? If you are, you will be greatly blessed, and it will be worth it all.